We're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. I'm talking with Alana Parker here today from the Riley County Historical Museum, and we're talking about 1850s Manhattan, Kansas, and most notably the Hartford House and Julia Lovejoy and her diary and what it was like living out here at that time of the history. And it was not a good time, really, in terms of safety and security. If you come out here on the frontier and just a lot of tumultuous activity going on.
Yes. And as I mentioned, so Isaac in his diary addresses some of that, where they go to vote and there are, he specifically mentions armed Missourians who are trying to force them to leave. And so he mentions that and Julia. Of course, Isaac is a little more matter of fact in his diary, very to the point. Whereas if you compare that to Julia's diary, she's very emotional. And that really comes through as you read that. I do want to mention a couple of my favorite ones from Isaac. He even gets excited if he took a bath. He just took a bath, exclamation point, which would be about once a week. So you look at things like that, too, and just what their daily lives were like. But in Julia's diary, so I have a passage here that is really interesting. This would be July 8th, 1856. She says, "Oh, how lonely, lonely I feel from day to day and week to week." And she calls her husband Mr. L. So Mr. L is still in the East, and there are wars and rumors of wars. Almost every week somebody falls by the hand of violence, and I know not that any place is secure. The free state men are shot down by pro-slavery villains as beasts of prey. A soldier in the U.S. Army is posted as sentinel and keeps a constant lookout from the top of Old Bluemont in sight from my cabin window. So what she's saying there, if you caught that, so her cabin is at the foot of Bluemont Hill, which many people refer to as Manhattan Hill today with the white letters and now with the beautiful observation deck. So here's Julia. She's living at the foot of Bluemont Hill. She's looking up and she sees a soldier posted on top of that hill. And I can't pass by Bluemont Hill without imagining Julia's cabin there at the foot and the fear that she must have felt. You know, she's really kind of by herself, isolated from the world she's known back east out here in Kansas. She's looking up. She sees a soldier up on that hill because they're afraid of what was happening on the Kansas-Missouri border making its way further west here to Manhattan. And, of course, Lawrence is very well known for those skirmishes and not just skirmishes, but really horrible events. We have the Sack of Lawrence, which occurred in 1856, where Missourians burnt the town of Lawrence one time. And then you have Quantrill's Raid, which, again, happened in August of 1863. So in the middle of the Civil War, Lawrence, Kansas, was burned to the ground again by Quantrill's raiders that came from Missouri. And we shouldn't just all blame Missouri. There were Kansans that were going over to Missouri doing things they shouldn't be doing either. But it was just reiterates, it was a really scary time here to live in Kansas.
In terms of mass violence in Manhattan at that time, was there lots of that? Or?
Well, I think that, as I mentioned, that Quantrill's Raid was definitely one of those over 100 men who were killed during that. And it's all talking about what was going on with what would become of Kansas. And so, of course, we know Kansas became a state January 29th, 1861, as a free state. It entered the Union. It actually took four constitutions. That was the last one that they had that finally allowed Kansas to enter the Union as a free state. So it obviously, you know, over these years, this is when Julia and Isaac arrive, 1855 to 1861. We've got an extended amount of time. Also, starting in April 1861 is the beginning of the Civil War. So it's not just coincidence, all of these things happening together. So we really have just a very strong territorial Kansas history here in Manhattan. And then come to visit the Riley County Historical Museum, because you can get a tour of this Hartford House and get a sense of what it would be like to live in one of these homes. Julia, and another time in her diary, she has her baby sitting by the window. So Irving, the baby boy she gave birth to while she came here. So he's sitting by the window, and there's a bobcat or wildcat that jumps up on the windowsill and is just sitting there watching her baby. And she doesn't know what to do. And it happened on a couple occasions. But just to imagine, she talks about the animals that infiltrate her home. And so you're worrying about that. You're worrying about having enough food to feed your family. And then again, just those modern conveniences that we have today, of course, they didn't quite have them. But it'd be a very different life, as I mentioned, what she left behind in New England for here in Kansas.
Yeah. Did they ever feel like it was worth it
Absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because there are a few quotes from both Isaac and Julia that just really strike me. This was one in Julia's diary. She said, "May the sufferings of the pioneers of Kansas have passed through, be the means of helping the downtrodden and oppressed in working out the heaven-approved principles of universal emancipation." So as I mentioned, that was their goal in coming here. So that was to them a sacrifice, leaving behind family and friends to come out here to help the greater cause of emancipation. And also in Isaac's diary, one of my favorite quotes of his, and I don't have that with me, so I might be a few words off here, but he says, "Knowing that the rule of slavery would come down on the prairies of Kansas," he says, "I felt impelled to throw myself onto the scale on the side of freedom." And that really just it speaks to you. And the way Isaac came out here, he attends a lecture. So this is back 1855, before he came to Kansas. He attends a lecture by a man named Eli Thayer, who started the New England Immigrant Aid Company. The purpose of this company was to recruit free staters and abolitionists to come to Kansas to help it become free. So Isaac and his brother-in-law attend this lecture. They're so motivated by it, quit his job, and in a couple weeks, he comes here to Kansas. So that's, as I mentioned, it's those reasons why that it brought them here.
Well, they were certainly heroes and champions of freedom, and their stories are really incredible to hear, because you really don't have that perspective here very often unless you go read about it.
Yeah, that's to have all these primary source materials available online. And when you step into these houses, you can read the emotion behind what these individuals felt, really helps put it into perspective. So as I mentioned, we've got the Hartford House now listed on the National Register. We're very excited about that. And then the Goodnow House State Historic Site. So that is the original home of Isaac and Ellen Goodnow, is right across the driveway from the museum. So it's actually a state-owned property, but it works in conjunction with the Riley County Historical Museum. So we administer the tours and in the care of the home. But that was originally built in 1861. You can read Isaac's diary where he purchased that home. $800 is what he paid to that original part of the home. The part you see on Claflin Avenue, that was an addition that was constructed in 1868. So it's just a remarkable home. Many of the interior artifacts, or the artifacts in the home, are original to Isaac, Ellen, or their adopted niece, Harriet. And again, that just really gives you, it is a Civil War era home. You go in there and you can't help but feel like you've taken a step back in time to see what life was like for Isaac and Ellen.
Alana, is it possible to purchase a copy of his diary?
It's all available online to read. I don't know if any has been formally printed, but there is several great books about Manhattan history that cover especially Isaac and Ellen, what they did here in the early days of Manhattan.
Jim Chereau has one that he recently did.
Yes, that's what I was going to mention. Dr. Chereau, and then Kevin Olson's Frontier Manhattan is excellent
as well.
Yes. Yeah, so those are two I would recommend, but there are several. You can go to the Kansas State Historical Society's website. You can see the digitized. I will say it is exhausting to read if you read. Poor Isaac's handwriting leaves something to be desired. But
you know what's really fun is you know, the language.
Yes.
And how they told stories and the words that they used in telling those stories, because it's, you know, writing is so much different now.
Absolutely. And cursive. And that's
what's that?
That's what's funny. You know, we'll show some younger students. Some
I use that for my name when I sign a check, and that's it.
What's a check? I'm just kidding.
Sorry, thank you. Yeah.
I still use them too, and I have friends that give me a hard time for writing checks. So
yeah, what's a checking account?
But yes, those are all available, and there's only a year, I believe, that's missing of Isaac's. So we have from 1855 until he passed away in 1894. But there's a year that's missing. He apparently left his diary on a train.
Oops.
And so who knows where that is today, somewhere lost in space. But
if it still is.
Yes, that's a thing, if it is still around.
Does Kansas State University have anything like that in Hale Library or any of their other facilities?
As far as primary source materials, yeah. Absolutely. And letters, Isaac wrote and wrote and wrote, and Ellen, too. Ellen, his wife, was a very educated woman. And even in Manhattan newspapers, it talks about she is as much as an expert in geology and fossils. There's a beautiful collection that they have that's in the Goodnoe House of fossils, rocks, different specimens. But to answer your question, Dave, yes, they have letters and different things. I can't wait for Hale Library to really fully open again with the special collections, because they've got a wonderful staff there and a wonderful collection. But so many things today, they're digitized. And we are also working on that at the Riley County Historical Museum to make these things available online, whether it's, as we're talking about, those primary sources, which you can also find. Isaac's diaries, 1855 to 1859, those years are available on the Riley County Historical Museum website. But even old exhibits or past exhibits that we've had, we've been really trying to give them an online presence even after they come down and put that information, make it available online.
Great. Well, this has been a fascinating story, fascinating topic here. And again, if people want to visit you guys there, how can they do that?
Well, first of all, we would love to have you visit. All of admission to all of our sites is free. So if you are interested, if it's a group under 10, just stop on by the museum. We are open Tuesday through Friday from 8:30 to 5. Saturday and Sunday, we are open from 2 to 5. We would love to have even larger groups. If you have family in town, all you have to do is give us a call or go to our website, send us an email. We would love to be able to schedule a personalized tour. And for teachers, that's one of the things we really enjoy, is having students come to visit the museum, help them get a better connection, have a sense of community and connection with the history of that community.
All right. Well, that'll do it here for this segment. Appreciate you being on, Alana.
Thank you so much.
All right. We'll continue in focus after this with Michelle Hobb talking Hogtoberfest next on News Radio KMAN.